Blog Talk Radio.
Our purpose, we'll be discussing that in a few minutes. Stay with us. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, freedom, and sovereignty. Peace, family, welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people, and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number one on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you are on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You'll be at the Blog Talk Radio website at that time. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. Peace, Brother Thurman, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm glad to be with you and the family. I'm just loving it.
Oh, we're glad to have you here. As we start into tonight's topic, which is what is our purpose, why did you choose that topic, Brother Thurman, and who are you referring to when you say our?
I am referring to, to answer that part, I'm referring to us, but I cannot leave out the collective of this entire ecosystem because that's part of us and it's part of what we need in order to be, and it's we were intended to be a part of all of it. And so it's just like in our function, we need water. So water mm-hmm. needs to be, and we need food. It needs to be. And if bees pollinate flowers, and we need bees, so it's about that our in a comprehensive response is the whole planet and the universe. Because
that's
often
awesome.
The people leave out thinking in terms of, so yes, we as African people, it's certainly about us, and it's certainly about Mother Africa. But in order for us to truly be liberated as we once were and free, we were connected to the entire ecosystem of this planet and the universe, and that's why we studied it and we knew all about it.
Thank you for that. Okay. So how did you choose the topic that you have for tonight? What is our purpose? What brought you to thinking about that and wanting to share what you came upon when you thought of it?
Every day I just cannot help but observe what's going on all over the planet and what's being done to our ecosystem and to our people. And I see that huge numbers of us have been socialized in many, many ways, and we are led to do what the song says, I think from the 60s or early 70s, the words were, it's your thing, do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. And mm-hmm. with that kind of mindset, it's your thing, you do what you want to do, it really is not appropriate for us to achieve liberation. We can't just do what we want to do. But when we've been socialized into that mindset, then we think that, yes, it's your thing, do what you want to do. And so as a child, I reached a point in coming into my teens that I felt pressure from being socialized by the unnatural ways of living and thinking that I had to pick a alcoholic drink that was my drink. So when I went to parties, the people say, well, what do you drink? I had to have an answer. So I didn't pick one because of some divine urge for me to do it. I just picked one.
Uh-huh.
And so from then on, fortunately for me, I didn't spend many, many years of indulging in that subject, but being that I was being programmed as a child that I couldn't be a man unless I could take a big drink of liquor and other things. And
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have anyone to tell me otherwise until I almost died.
Wow.
And so we've got to break free from this socialized programming that because that programming has historically, generationally, it's one of the wedges that's keeping us divided, and it will continue to do so because if we have this peer pressure and being socialized and bamboozled to where you think it's your thing and you do what you want to do and nobody else can tell you, that's
mm-hmm.
not the way.
But the other thing that's also too about that is, as you mentioned, what you think is your thing is generally the result of programming. So
mm-hmm.
it's not your real thing, it's the thing that you were programmed to accept as yours, and then you began to operate in a particular way that is not necessarily to your benefit. And you just think that it's yours, you know. Like mm-hmm. you said, you had to have a drink. You had to have a particular drink to be a man. So, you know, every man, every male that reaches a certain age and wants to declare himself a man now picks a drink to symbolize mm-hmm. that he has reached manhood. And as you say, that's not our way of being. That was something that we got subliminally from movies, television, you know, music, whatever. Mm. And so we're doing a lot of things that don't actually benefit us, thinking that it's our thing. So if you continue on with what you were thinking.
Yeah. And so that's like the last poet said many generations ago in one of their albums of some genuine rappers. They said, this mm-hmm. is madness. And it is. And they were just way ahead in their insight when they said, this is madness. And we've got to realize that the way that we've been led and tricked, deceived to follow is not the way. And to determine a purpose, we have to be in touch with a higher way of being in tune with our inner self. And you could call it being, you could call it the way. It comes out pretty much the same, just a different use of words. But there's the madness is not the product of those that's in touch with their higher self and their inner self.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say is our purpose, having decided that we are, you know, we're not actually, for most of us, we're not living our purpose or being our purpose, as you said. What would you say is our purpose?
And purpose is, I would, in my view, has the people very, very confused, and some of what I'm going to say would just be beyond the circle of the information that they have, that they face up to. And then what is our purpose? It's an easy or a complex answer. The easy answer is to just be, which is our natural, universal, original way of just existing. You just be. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like something far off into space in terms of what I said in language. Like, what in the world? Just be? But that's the easy answer. It's complex to terms of explaining it, because you'd have to have some inner experiences that manifest and showed itself based on some experiences that you had that you saw outside of yourself. And without having those experiences, then it would sound strange and make it difficult to explain. And so, as I said, to just be, which also means to just be still and be guided by your inner self. And the complex answer to our purpose leads us to things where you must outwardly learn and remember and continuously remember and add more things to do and more things to acquire. That's the complex answer, the way that most people are living in this so-called civilized world, living out their lives, that they are focusing on this outward stuff, and they've got all kinds of things that's bombarded in their minds, and they are seeking all kinds of things to acquire, and that's not being. That's not being. And when you, the easy answer is to just be is your automatic inner self that just knows without a lot of outward thinking. And I say that again, the easy answer to just be is just to just be is your automatic inner self that just knows what to do without outward thinking. Those mm-hmm. who have experienced automatic thinking, which is in all of us, and all of us have experienced it, many times we wouldn't be paying attention to it because it's just so automatic. But there are things that can happen, some emergency that you had to take action in terms of turning the wheel in your car because you're about to run into somebody, either they're going to run into you, but your automatic mm-hmm. self kicked in. And that's another subject, you know, another term of thinking for people to process, your automatic self. And I'll go on to say to be is complicated to explain when speaking with those who have not devoted time being still, being quiet, meditating, and not distracted from your silent power. And when I say silent power, we have a power that's within us that requires that we be silent and be still to access it. So the ancient African says the higher side of sanity requires being quiet more. And silent power also includes nonverbal communication, which is something else to open up to. Our highest, in my view, our highest and most original, oldest form of communication way back millions of years ago and to this day, to the best of I can gather, the highest form of communication is nonverbal. It does not require a specific language like all of the languages all over the planet. It is universal. It's effective amongst two-legged beings and four-legged and those in the ocean and beyond.
Uh-huh.
And it's nonverbal. There's just lots of examples of that being done, and most everybody have had the experience of thinking about somebody, and that person called them, but it was a nonverbal communication. So with nonverbal, we can communicate with each other from 10 miles away or 10,000 miles away. It's just a matter that we have forgotten the way because of the ones that came along and corrupted our thinking. And so there's a book called Mutant Message, and in the book it talked about what they may have had a chapter in there called cell phone or cellular telephone, and what it was what it dealt with is that our inner self is the world or the universe's original cell phone that we already had used very, very well until we got duped and tricked. And it's just been turned off. We can turn it back on. It's just that most of the people don't know that. So that's why it's essential that we talk about these kind of things.
Right. To your point about being able to be alone, I saw a meme that says, being alone has the power that very few people can handle. And I think part of the reason for that is that we are bombarded all the time with external stimulation. And we are discouraged from being alone. As a matter of fact, they have come up with labels of basically mental illnesses that they call people who like being alone. So that also is a way to discourage people from tapping into the great power that they have if they be still and quiet and go within themselves. And a few years ago, speaking of the cell phone, a few years back when the internet was first starting, I met a young lady that said that the purpose for the internet was to keep us from communicating. We are the original internet. And so the purpose of creating the external internet was to keep us from gearing up, I'll say, our innate internet. And to keep us, the cell phone takes that further, communicate very well, I guess you could say mind to mind.
Yes, we can.
Without cell phones. As a matter of fact, I have stories of people who, you know, actually communicate with people miles away without a cell phone. But as that, I think it's that we reach a certain level in our development where all of this stuff is coming online now, and to arrest our development, they take it and put it outside of us, as you say, to keep us from working on advancing our power, and also so they can make money off of us. Because if we if we could just do our internet thing among ourselves internally, they couldn't make any money off of it. If we could communicate, talk to each other without a cell phone, nobody could make any money off of it. So they arrested our development, and then they have now us using our power to generate their program.
Yes, it's all right. So there's much for us to open up to. And so when I started off and I said the easy answer is to just be, to some degree, today, I just smiled to myself. I said, well, we can just go ahead and turn the lights off and go to bed early tonight, because there's nothing else to say if we could grasp hold of to just be, and we move forward on that. And so as I said, in that being, and to be, being, and even this word beingness, some people say, is that such word as beingness? Well, that's such word or such thought as anything you want to come up with. But yes, if tonight we just made it up, it's all right, as long as it's got some value, some power that's actually there. But in our beingness, which is, a subject to, you'd have to, search to, but even though you can find information on that, but it's in another realm. But it's in our greater good for us to delve into just being, which guides your purpose, It's living in another unlimited realm of natural universal highs and experiences. So it's in another realm. And that's where we were when we achieved the greatest things that ever been done, and we achieved the greatness of building the first universities, and we laid out runways that we had to, get up in the air, out into space in order to accurately lay out these runways that still exist, ancient runways, and we had flight and on. And to have people tell of their experiences of being makes it much easier to help those who stay in the outward, lesser state of being see a picture of what we all can experience for the greater good of the people, the planet, and beyond. And like I said earlier when I talked about this ecosystem, the greater good of the people, and I said it included the ecosystem of this planet and the ecosystem beyond, because the corruptors, the misleaders, the invaders, they have us participating in the destruction of all of that, which is anti-life and it's anti-being. And we've got to just regroup and get back in tune with our higher self. And as I said, when it comes to people that have not disciplined themselves to be quiet more, to be still, which means also another way to word it is to be calm. And so the ancient Africans also said about calmness, those, when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered one of the keys to life. And there's so many things that will have happened and will continue to happen in some way or another, but when you have learned calmness, before the chaos comes or another episode that could otherwise upset you, you can navigate through that. You still care, you still know, but you are calm about it, and you still realize that you still must move forward in spite of whatever that experience was that was that was not pleasing or that was traumatic.
Right.
And so there's so many illnesses that's emotionally oriented that damages or stresses or causes dis-ease in organs in our body, and the organ does not have some so-called cancer. It's just got some emotional issue that entered the mind. But if the mind was calm and if that being was, you were on a in a higher realm and on a natural high, it wouldn't be that way. And that's the answer to healing a lot of diseases. That's emotional. Quite a few books, but Louise Hay wrote a book that talks about how certain emotional issues affect certain organs in the body, the liver, the heart, and on and on. And you could use various things, including meditations and visualizations and flower essences and other things that could help you to be calm enough to forgive that emotion. And when you forgive the emotions, the issue with the organ goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said,
go ahead, continue.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, sister.
No, I was going to say that's something that we do not, we're not encouraged to even entertain that idea that you just gave. We're encouraged to go to an outside doctor, outside source, who will not help us to heal whatever is wrong with us, but will give us something to make matters worse. So I think that's why we have so many sick people among us at the time, because we don't know the secret to healing ourselves. And it really is not a secret, but
it's not.
So that's the time.
And in our beingness, when you say it's not a secret, in our beingness, it would lead you to get greater and greater clarity that there's nothing your beingness cannot find cannot come up with an answer to, because it's already in us. And it's already in us to be connected to the universe, where there's answers out there in the universal airways. But you'd have to get back in touch and get centered on your beingness and stay that way. And it's there waiting for us. And we, when we were in our beingness and on that natural universal high, we studied, as it's documented in Africa, inside the tombs and other places all over the planet, that we built and we left evidence of what we had learned. And much of it was, so as I said, we studied the planet and all things that's a part of the planet. We studied the universes. It's like the world's first multi-documented multi-genius, Imhotep. He went to school for 40-some years and gained 360 degrees of knowledge, and he knew about everything.
Uh-huh.
And if you just start naming all things, he knew a whole bunch of stuff in a lot of subject areas. But so among the things that we paid attention to, as I said, the entire ecosystem. So what kind of purpose do animals and insects like ants have? Are they constantly nurturing their family life, building and rebuilding, foraging and growing food, defending their village, and letting nothing else distract their purpose? And the answer is, yes, they are constantly nurturing their family life, building, and if you knock down their home, they'll rebuild it. If you knock it down tomorrow morning, shortly, immediately, they're going to call out the family and start rebuilding. And if you go out a day or two later and knock it down again, they'll do that. As a child,
uh-huh.
you know, I spent time with ants and I watched them, and they without fail, without emotion, they didn't come out and throw their hands up in the air and give me fingers and cuss at me. They were just being, and they uh-huh. rebuilt. They forage exactly. for food, and some substances they bring and take down in the ground and actually have a garden inside that they use for their benefit. And they come and defend their village and let nothing distract them from their purpose. But when you're in touch with your being, you don't get distracted from your purpose. If you had to defend yourself, you just defend yourself and go right back to your center, your being. And I hope that makes some sense. So the ants are not bound to no such thoughts of cars, planes, trains, spaceships, chemical factories, unjust wars, just being their automatic self every day. So imagine where we would be if we were not caught up, addicted to and lusting for cars, planes, trains, spaceships, chemical factories, and unjust wars. We were just being, and our focus was about regaining our nations and living in harmony with the earth and with the universe and be content with that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than want to just go and call. So if the masses of our people are doing the opposite of the ants, then they advocate and participate in helping the destroyers corrupt, contaminated, and the destroyers who are corrupt, and they contaminate, they brutalize, and they kill off all of life on the planet out into the universe and bring to an end the natural purposes that was followed by all until the unnatural invaders came to lure us away from being.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so their way is corrupt. It's not my opinion. Are they contaminating their planet with Monsanto and a whole lot more and nuclear power plants? It's not my opinion what the answer is. Are they brutalizing and killing people, including us and our ancestors? In long lists of names that we can name off? Yes, they are. And so they're killing off all of life on the planet and out into the universe. So they're causing disharmony out into the universe. They have for decades now. And there's a plan of a billionaire, if they haven't already done it, to send 10,000, and this was in the media, 10,000 new pieces of what they, technology they would call it, is space junk, into the universe. But the universe was just fine before they came along with their artificial devices and their artificial intelligence. But we were into our being, and our being gave us answers that we could tap into so that we wrote the first manuscripts and we charted the first mathematical formulas for music, for example. So the letters in music like A, B, C, and D, where did it come from? It came from ancient Africans who their being came up with the formula so that they could establish the musical note C, for example, was in tune or not. So they knew the mathematical formula. And then they passed it on that we knew it so well that our being knows when you're in tune without calculating with math or without a device. The device was your being. You knew where
exactly.
it was. You knew it
exactly.
within. B.B. King, ancestor B.B. King, on stage probably many times, playing his guitar, broke a string. The rest of the group continued to play. B.B. King reached in his pocket, pulled out another string, quickly put it on his guitar, and tuned it while the performance was going on because he knew inwardly. And so uh-huh. we've got to get back into our inner self. And as I said, that being and that beingness guides your purpose. And so then you would be led to your purpose.
Right.
Now, outside of us, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if anybody wants to join the conversation, the number to call is 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. Go ahead, Brother Sir.
Yes. We've got to make a decision that we want to elevate back to our higher self and our higher cultural ways of living that's in harmony with the entire ecosystem of the planet and the universe. And we'll be back in stride again naturally and taken to the sky wherever on a natural high, like the bloodstone saying, and instead of this increasing hell and this increasing madness. And all of this new stuff that's advancing on all of life, a large percentage of us would be smiling and thinking it's just wonderful. And it's really destruction of the entire life. And we've got an opportunity to not do that. And being is there for us to use. It's a power that can be used in many, many ways. And it's not something you can rub your arm right now, or you could pinch yourself right now and you could feel it. But your being, it's there. It's waiting to be used all the time. It's on all the time. But you cannot readily feel it. And you can feel the effects of being on that natural high, but you're feeling it from some sort of a bodily, but the being itself, it's staying on its post all of the time. And so if somebody curse you or you curse somebody, the being doesn't get offended about it. It stays on its post. It does what it would do if you allow it to just be by being tuned into it. And like I said earlier, that is something what?
No, that's something that we do well to remember.
Yes. Well, I agree. And so it's a powerful subject. It's real, real complex if you dare to go into explaining it as much as you could. I think it's some things, and I'm sure that the ancient ancestors knew some things we need. When we are aware that a certain thing exists, everything doesn't require that we delve down into all of the working parts of it. And some of it is going to be revealed to us, but it's a whole bunch of it. We can go on about our business and just live in harmony with it, without knowing every answer, because for one, unless it's inspired from your being, if you just search and think and ponder and ponder and pondering, you're doing too much thinking to stay centered on your being.
Mm-hmm. So, know thyself that you may know the universe of which you are a part.
Yes.
So you, yes. The more you study yourself, the more you understand the ant or the bees or,
yes,
you know, whatever,
yes,
all else that you see.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the more harmoniously you get to live, and in the process, there's so many benefits in various ways. When it comes to growing food,
mm-hmm,
when you talk, sing, smile, and express love to your plants, they grow better. They're more nourishing. And there's sisters and brothers that have experienced. So I'm familiar with a group of sisters and brothers gathered, and they in their class, it was as part of a homework, everybody was told to go out in the woods or wherever and just select a plant, as long as it wasn't poisonous, mm-hmm. and select that plant and take a piece and ask for a piece of it and take it and roll it up in a towel and take it home and put it underneath your pillow and sleep with it and just to see what that plant would reveal to you when you're into your dream time.
Uh-huh.
One of the sisters in the class went to a plant. She didn't ask the plant for permission to pull it up. So she grabbed the plant, and she pulled and pulled, and it wouldn't come up. She got a little frustrated, and she left, and she came back the next day because the next day she remembered she was supposed to, and this is just in being in harmony, to ask, uh-huh. and she came back the next day with the same plant and asked, "May I have you to take home with me?" And she uh-huh. pulled on the plant, and it came right up out of the ground easily.
Uh-huh.
And so we, when we are in our being, we can transform things into another dimension.
For sure.
When I open up to my being about being able to communicate nonverbally, and I had just left it alone for a long time, and then when I finally decided some years ago that I was going to open up to communicate nonverbally as a way of verifying and demonstrating that I was going to be confronted with what I wanted, I had animals mm-hmm. come to me that had never done that before,
mm-hmm.
including a herd of 4 or 5 deer that came up on me. And I found it amusing, because I said, you know, people don't have deer come up on them. They run away from them.
Uh-huh.
And so I stood for a while and had a nonverbal conversation with the deer. And even the littlest one, so-called Bambi, they stepped uh-huh. forward and came to me. But until I open up to be able to communicate nonverbally, so that's just an example, a real one.
So
and then,
what you made me think of with the lady with the plant was that they say that if you're like trying to grow a garden for your own
yes.
use, for your family use, that if you take the seed before you plant it and put it in your mouth, just, you know, a second or two, and then put it in the ground, the seed will pick up your chemistry, recognize what you need for optimum health that might be missing, and as the plant grows, it will grow that extra for you to help you maintain optimum health. So that's, like you said, part of knowing that you are part of the whole universe and everything is all connected.
You're so right. That's powerful what you just said right there, family. That's real, real powerful. I get it. And so why would we be okay with living out of touch with our natural beingness versus just totally living with this outward way of living, thinking, and behavior, and just constantly going through these changes about all of this stuff? And so why does the planet need Rolex watches and Rolls Royce? It doesn't. Does it benefit from it? No, it does not. It actually is being harmed, because whatever number of Rolex watches they make, it's doing harm to the planet. It requires digging things out of the earth, but it requires manufacturing that uses energy and chemicals in the manufacturing process. But when we were just being, we knew time without a watch on our wrist. We knew time. And yes, we were the original ones that built mathematically calculated sundials and devices that was could have been a part of the community. But from minute to minute and from day to day, we were not walking around with a device on our arm because we knew how to tell time without an artificial device. And we can do that. So it's just like when I said in touch with your beingness, you can get quiet and tell yourself whenever you want to that I want to wake up at 3 a.m. this tonight. And you may wake up at 5 minutes or 10 minutes to or after. But if you continue to exercise that beingness, you could find yourself waking up at 3 a.m., 20 seconds before or after, but very accurately. And, I mean, this has been done, and I've heard people that have done that. So in our being, there's so much value that's useful for us. And so if we can use our beingness to heal and transform, then why would we want to go through all of this confusion and all of this expense and anxiety when we don't have to?
And that's it. Is that we don't know.
Waiting
we don't
for
have to.
We don't have to. You know, so it's like some brother, I read a few words that he wrote. It's been around for a long time, but he said, lots of our people that could have been saved, if they weren't because we were not doing what we could be doing. They could have been saved. Lots of people. But
we
when we're going to live this. Yes.
We have a call. Finish your thought, and then I'll take the call. Are you finished?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take the caller now then. Peace. Caller with the last 4 digits 0, please state your name, where you're calling from, ask your question, or make your comment. Thank you.
Greetings, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabakan. I'm calling from South Florida. I greet you all in the family who are listening. Very, very interesting. And, you know, I recall, you know, some of the conversations that you're having, you know, thoughts that, you know, I had entertained, particularly with when I was overseas. But my question is, and it's I think a little important, being that we have been transformed or that we have been interrupted, you know, in that process, all right, how do we reverse it such that we can get back there? And then I guess more importantly, what role do you see Ulu playing or assisting in helping us to get back there? Listen to your comment, and thank you very much for the topic.
Okay, thank you. Brother Thurman.
And thank you for the very good question that we need, and we need to explore and gain the answers to it. And how do we begin? We make incremental steps in the right direction. And so when I talked about the being and beingness that requires that we be quiet and we intentionally, you know, devote time to being quiet, being still, and actually be quiet more, but also to practice meditation, to practice good nutrition, to practice going to bed and getting adequate rest, which is part of it, to practice indulging and absorbing sunshine ideally every day, which helps to heighten your spiritual self when you get that sunshine and even in that specialized realm of sunshine, which is called sun gazing, G-A-Z-I-N-G. And Ulu can help in many, many ways, because the focus of us lifting us, as the model has already been built, is for us to come together and pool intellectual and financial resources. And with that, among the things that's been discussed, and I've talked about it a few times on the radio, that ULU will be in place to do at some time real soon, among the things that's been a flagship business of ULU is a ULU marketplace, a ULU Mart. And in there would be multiple businesses and services that we need, including bulk buying of foods like we do in the health food store, and a place for black farmers to bring their food and sell it. So a farmer's a food market for black farmers to sell their goods and for us to get to nourish ourselves, as well as bookstores that we very much need, with books that's been written by our teachers and telling the real story and not the miseducated fakery, and movie/entertainment theaters. And also we need, every day we need it right now, and that is the ULU cultural center, so that we can be guiding our people in the right direction when every day there's some misinformation being told. And we need our own ULU cultural centers right away, so that we can give the correct information. And Brother Shabaka, you know, with the good work that you are doing and will continue to do, along with brothers like the other brother in Florida, I can't tell you his name right now, and as well as various sisters and brothers like you had on the Zoom call the other day, bringing the realities about how we can heal from any COVID type virus, or keep from getting it, and how we can just be well, and bringing together a group that will give a voice that our people can trust and depend on when it comes to staying well or getting well. And in the ULU cultural centers, that's the part of what would help us get back there. And so there we could have gatherings where we would do meditations, gatherings where we would tune into doing energy work and learn how to and help calm each other. And so in doing energy work, it's not difficult at all to, even for someone that had never experienced it, to sit somebody, either lay them on a table or sit them in a chair and just get them to close their eyes and let somebody get behind them, and without touching them, but touching their energy field to calm them and send them into a deep relax. And towards what Brother Shabaka asked, we need to know what it feels like to feel energy flowing through our body. And then when we can connect and help each other to go into a deep, deep relax, it helps to bring forth greater clarity that there's a power that's in us, and an energy, electrical energy, that can just make things just be smoothed right on out and take the static out of our minds. And when I say static out of our minds, when you do that calming energy work, if before there was a lot of static, and when I say static, it's almost like a radio dial. If it's not tuned just right, there's a lot of static on the radio. But when you tune it in, the static stops, and we can smooth out the energy of folks that have a lot of erratic energy and calm them right down, send them into a deep relax, and all of that, put all of those things together that I just talked about in response to what you asked, and we can heal our people. We've got to go forth and do the work like you were doing on the Zoom calls with the group, including Brother Haru and Sister Adama and others like that, and Velva Bowles and more, on and on. So I hope that answered your question.
Okay. I guess he satisfied. He didn't say anything else. I think to your point, Brother Sermon, we tend to think that the spiritual realm has nothing to do with what happens physically, and listening to what you were saying just now, it occurred to me that we could choose to, at a particular time, let's say, it doesn't have to take long. It could be, you know, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 3 minutes, but just the intention that we will all sit together wherever we are and focus our directed energy on a particular thought or something that we want to create and see how long it takes us to bring it into the physical realm. I think a lot of us would be surprised at how well that works.
It would work, and it's been demonstrated in various many ways. And one of them that Sister Marimba Ani that wrote the book Yorugo, she would know about it. But there was a brother that brought forth a lot of our master scholars on and put on television and on the YouTube. It's on YouTube now. But he brought a whole lot of our scholars that a whole bunch of Africans all over did not know about, but he put it on television. His name is Listerveld Middleton. And Listerveld ended up with some kind of unused, almost rare for African people. But in any case, the message was put out to for Africans all over the planet that at 9 p.m. to take time to be still, be quiet, and focus on sending loving, healing energy to your family members, as well as Listerveld. And when that was done, there was some healing that was dramatic towards being more well with Listerveld when that was happening. And it's there. It's been demonstrated many, many times, even if most of us haven't just been around it. We just haven't been seeking it. But there are healers that have done all kind of things, and they could be with the person or they could be distant, because that energy, your intent that your being can tune into, it could send a message to Mars and beyond. We just have to tap back in to get a greater realization by way of participating, and then we would see what the results would be. And it would be to the positive. We can transform the cruelness and the unjustness and whatever else you wanted to label it about the racist system by us transforming ourselves collectively to what we want in terms of harmony and being and a clean planet, a clean universe, clean water, clean food, clean us. We can transform that quickly. We can transform. And so a part of that being is being in touch with power where you can transform things that otherwise would be dangerous, would be a conflict, and you could smooth it right out. And it's been demonstrated. So African people are failing to not get back and make use of their beingness. We're failing. We're doing injustice to ourselves because we've been so duped that we, as I said earlier, are advocates and participants in helping the destroyers, in helping the destroyers to corrupt, contaminate, brutalize, and kill off all of life on the planet and out into the universe.
Including
ourselves. Well, that includes us. And so if we eat ourselves sick into having diabetes and needing kidney dialysis, it's only because we volunteered to do that. They had the ones that cracked the whipping us. They duped us, our mind, and we volunteered to eat that way, and kidney dialysis centers are making a whole bunch of money. And it would change quickly when we tune back into our inner self, and Us Lifting Us is there to help us to pool the resources so that we've got the farmer's market and the bookstores and the health food stores and bulk and clothing and all of those things that we could be exchanging and doing business and be well together. And so one last word, we should focus on the words of Nia, which means purpose, one of the principles of Kwanzaa, to make Nia purpose, to make our collective vocation of building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness, their traditional greatness.
Okay, thank you for that. And before you go, please tell us how we could get to join UBU if we are still inclined.
And please go to usliftinguslifting.com, our webpage, and you can review what Us Lifting Us is all about. And in the interest of time, if you didn't go there, if you still had questions, which you can actually sign your name and the email address, and information will be sent to you or someone will contact you. And also you can reach us by email at info@usliftingus.com. That's info@usliftingus.com. So we're easily accessible, and you can go and take a look at the information, and you can apply for membership. And you have to apply because this is strictly, seriously for us and not to be interrupted by others. And so you have to be verified that you are Black, African, and appropriate to come be a part of our group, which is about achieving a greatness and putting us back in our place and achieving economic liberation and everything else that goes along with that.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Brother Thurman. And I want to thank everyone who has joined us for tonight's program. We will be back next Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, for another segment of Us Lifting Us. I'm sorry, for Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us radio program. We will see you all next Thursday. Thank you, Brother Thurman. Peace.
Thank you, family. Sister Q.